Welcome back to another episode of Let Me Tell You Why. I'm your host, Tyler Webster, joined as always by my co-host, Danielle Lorenz.
Hello.
And I am realizing that I'm not even remotely close enough to the mic.
I mean, you're loud. I mean, you're super loud anyway. And as you can tell, Frosty could hear you. So, you know.
He's just like, that's enough of that.
That's quiet. Enough. Don't move.
Oh my gosh.
Stay in one spot.
What's going on, guys? So, welcome back to Hot Ones, a show with hot guests and even hotter wings. No, we missed you guys. For your perspectives, it should be nice and seamless. But for our perspectives, we're kind of jumping around in terms of our recording times. So we got a chance to jump in the old booth, and we're gonna make something happen.
You know, the booth.
The booth, this big open
this
area.
This really big open space.
What is a house if not a large booth?
I mean.
So today's episode is Cursed Love.
Oh, yes, it is.
Have it's you seen that meme where the guy's just like, it's F, what is it? It's like F blank S-H, L-O, like L blank V-E.
Oh, Fish Love?
And he's just like, I'd like to solve the puzzle. It's like, okay, Fish Love?
Oh my gosh, yes, I have seen that because we've referenced that several
fucking
times.
Fish love is so funny. But no, this is not about fish love.
No, this is about cursed love.
We have some wide-ranging experiences with some different past love. I had forgot that this was the topic of the episode.
Yeah, we literally 2 minutes ago, we're about to press record, and he's like, what is the topic? And I'm like, cursed love. And he was like, we haven't been recording because we have been talking about Tyler's current dating life for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, we had basically its own episode talking about that. And it's very, very funny. So what is cursed love?
Oh, Daniel. Cursed love is inevitable.
Is inevitable? That's awful!
It's gonna happen to everybody at some point in your life where you're gonna have, even if it's like a short little middle school thing, you're gonna have some cursed love in your life. It's just, it's going to happen because you have to learn from it to find actual good love with somebody.
Cursed love is inevitable. I would say cursed love is Tyler Webster.
If you look up Tyler Webster in the dictionary, it's of the synonyms is cursed love.
See, let me tell you why for more details. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had a non-cursed love.
Well, no, because, well, we've talked about this, that up until now, you've had maybe not the best habits and not the best things have attracted you to people.
Correct.
You look at, like, drama and toxicity and go, well, but that's interesting, though. And that'll keep me on my toes when I'm super upset with her and miserable.
To be fair, it did. It always keeps me on my toes, that kind of cursed craziness. It always keeps me fresh, sharp behind the eyes and between the ears.
Oh, but it's so unhealthy and so bad for you.
But the sex is good.
No, you can have good sex in a healthy relationship. I promise it's possible.
I haven't experienced it yet.
Lots of experimentation happened last night, so I can tell you that
things
can happen in a healthy relationship. God.
She's just been on about her lovely night last night.
Yes, and it was so much fun.
And
we
I'm really
time.
Happy for you.
We had a great time.
It's phenomenal. And I have a date coming up tomorrow.
Where you're not going to have that.
Shut up. I'm an ass. What a fucking ass.
No, I meant the sex part, not the fun part.
No, I know that. You're not gonna have any. That's not in the cards for you, is it? It was at this very table
where you pissed.
Where I had sex. No.
I mean, yes, but
no, I had not had sex on this.
Oh,
table.
I thought we were. Never mind.
No, that's all right. Jesus fucking Christ, Danielle's been on one all day since I got here. So it was at this very table. I was playing Warhammer 40K. Ladies, he's single.
He's single.
Warhammer 40K, the latest.
And he
fucking
spends money on it.
Oh, I don't just spend money on it, all right? I've spent over $400 on this shit.
Oh, boy.
Premium. Ladies. Warhammer 40K is one of the least sexy things that you could possibly be into. Dungeons & Dragons is starting to come into vogue right now.
Yeah, like people, it's becoming way more popular now.
But Warhammer 40K, ooh, woo, is that fucking lame. Lame. Oh, it's lame. It is not hot. It is not sexy. Women don't come to me and see my mini collection that I built with my bare hands and painted with my own hands and
What else did you do with your hands?
My cock. They don't look at that shit and go, wow, you're really attractive. They look at it and say, I don't know about this guy.
How much time did you spend on that, bro?
You tell me.
Oh, too much time.
For those at home, they look fucking great.
They actually do. They actually look awesome.
Look at the detail on the axe.
Did you paint the thing?
I did.
Wow.
Look at where it started. This is so bad content for our fucking listeners.
Oh, yeah. Like, guys.
For our podcasting listeners, look at this.
Hey, send me those pictures and I'll post it to the Instagram so that people can see what they're missing with you.
Yeah, I will. So check out our Instagram if you want to see my fucking epic Warhammer
his
paint
epic
job.
Minis.
ladies, fuck. This is, so we were talking about this earlier, before we pressed record. I had matched with a girl on Tinder. And, you know, I consider myself, I don't think we've talked about the rating system. The person rating system on the podcast before, and if we have, forgive me.
Rating yourself where you think
one
you
out
are?
Of ten, right? One being the ugliest person on the planet, the most unattractive person on the planet, and 10 being the most attractive person on the planet, right? And so, you know, the brutal truth, if you're being really pragmatic about this, because everyone's be like, oh, my significant other's a 10, and it's just like, no, they're not. They're a 10 for you, and I'm happy for you. But when we're looking at this objectively, 4, 5, and 6 is the meat of the bell curve, right?
Yeah.
The most people sit in that 4, 5, and 6 average category, right? Yeah. And so I consider myself a solid, if we're being super objective, right? And we're being really fucking honest and mean, I consider myself a solid 6.5, 7.
Okay.
Right? Nothing crazy where it's like, oh man, I gotta get with that guy. But just enough to be like a little more than average, right? A little bit more than the average bear. Someone where that may get a double take every once in a great while. But my body type definitely loses some points, right? There's a number of things where when you go down the scorecard, you lose some fucking points, don't you? And so I end up coming right in at that 6.5, 7, and that's a huge source of pride for me, right?
Okay.
Because most people are 4, 5, and 6s, right? That's where they live, and it's okay. But this whole thing, by the way, was inspired by a Jim Jeffries bit, which is very fucking funny. But this girl that I had matched with, I mean, there was some conversation about her face and the editing that was done on her pictures. But I'm talking about Mrs. Curvaceous.
Yeah. So the last one you showed.
The very last one.
Okay.
No. Oh my God. I was not about to like go.
Well, not her.
On the person I have
an
actual date with.
No, not her. I was thinking the Christian girl, because she was also like curvy and
edited,
all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were we were talking about this girl that I had matched with who looks like an Only Models trap. What the fuck is happening to me? An OnlyFans trap, right? Someone who matches with everyone. You get two conversations in and she's just like, hey, check out my OnlyFans, because she's living a little to
or
the imagination.
Premium Snapchat.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Where, you know, possibly a bot. You know, we don't know, right? But it's the way she's being so revealing, which is not, it's not bad. I'm not saying if you're revealing you're a slut, but like on Tinder, you don't like, she is like, this is my fucking ass. This is my hourglass figure. This is me being fucking big, hot, fucking my little pasties on my nipples kind of. It's like, okay, woman, we get it, right? And so I of course swipe right, because why the fuck not? Because, you know, in that 1% chance, it's like, you know what? Well, I'll break some rules. That's fine. So we end up matching, and immediately there's like red flag. This girl's probably like an 8.5, 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of physically, right?
Yeah.
Physically. And so boy's got to stay in his lane, right? I know better than to try and you know, touch God like that, right? I know where I live. I know the types of people that I end up dating, right?
Okay.
For better and for worse. And she ain't it. So we match together, and I'm immediately like, red flag. And so knowing that this is probably some kind of bot, some kind of OnlyFans thing, whatever, I send her a text that says, you strike me as the type, what is it? You strike me as the type who only dates people who make 7 figures plus a year, and I'm sure that's a compliment. And she says, that's been true through most of my adult life. And then I say something snarky back and no response, which is to be expected.
Exactly.
But I just found that so fucking funny. It was just like, you don't know what it's like down here, do you? And she's like, no.
Because she doesn't need to.
Because she doesn't have to. And it was, God, man, that shit was just so funny. What happened?
I don't know. You threw your phone.
I threw my phone. That's exploding.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Achievement get.
You did so good.
Throwing my phone. So yeah, cursed love.
Cursed love.
You have some experiences with cursed love.
I do.
And some experience with fish love. That was the experimentation last night.
No. Nothing having to do with that.
Worst fucking thing you could just like expose.
Like. Yeah, just be like, well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, you know, every date night has to end that way.
Exactly.
No.
Fish
where
love?
He puts on the outfit from Shape of Water, and I'm just like, all right, let's go.
He's just got the like the cut off fish head like mask. Yes. And he's like, hey, baby, and you're like, oh, fuck, like biting your lip.
No.
Oh, Samuel.
No, well, well, if we're starting from, you know, from a ways back. We're
starting from fish. That's the origin point for this.
Well, you know, one time I was born, and then from there, if we're talking about first real relationship, first time that I, like, actually called someone my boyfriend, and they called me their girlfriend, and it wasn't elementary school, like, you're just my friend, so you're my boyfriend kind of thing. It would be sixth grade, and it was with this guy who, he was very sweet at the time. He kind of went through a weird phase where he wasn't the nicest person. I don't know how he is now. Mm-hmm. But in sixth grade, he believed, so we were both freak shows. That's why we started dating, because we were in that delusional, still kind of in elementary school state of wanting to play pretend so bad that we made it real.
I know exactly what
you're know what
about.
I'm talking about.
I do.
And because of that, we like bought into it so hard that like we would tell people about it as though it was real, which made us losers. So
you're talking to a guy who is a 26-year-old man who fights with foam swords for fun and then sits down and plays
and
pretend
minis?
With his friend and then makes minis.
Well, here's the thing. So
I'm fucking with it.
Yeah. So my thing when I got into, you know, sixth grade, and it was really unfortunate because I still kind of stuck with it a little ways into seventh grade.
Okay.
So like, you know, 11, 12. And he's around the same age. So I had made up this thing. I knew it wasn't real, obviously, because you know it's not.
Okay.
But you want it to be so bad that it's like you're trying to manifest it. And so you just tell yourself over and over that it's real. If anyone asks you, you tell them it's real. Like,
Danielle was
this.
A fucking wolfkin?
No. I did kind of want to be a cat a little bit, but that wasn't it. In my head, wanted to be able to create portals to other realities and other worlds.
Okay.
Really, really bad.
Okay.
And create essentially, like, create other worlds. Like, I like step through and it's a whole different thing. And
okay.
I can just make my own thing. And so, because I believed it as much as I did, people were like, okay, she's a fucking freak. Which I was, like undoubtedly.
Just off in the corner during playtime and you're just like, what playtime in fucking middle school?
Well, I was never like doing shit. It was talking about it.
It was never
me trying to be like, there it is. Like, you know?
Off in the corner, just like, shah, like spreading your arms out like a crazy person.
No.
There it is.
No, it wasn't like that.
I see it.
It was more trying to convince people because I wanted it to be real. And I was like, if I talk about it enough, maybe it'll become real, you know? And so the guy I ended up dating,
oh my
we met.
God.
Did you ever do cotillion?
That sounds familiar.
So it's where you get really dressed up and you go to like a fancy place and they teach you all about manners, how to ballroom dance.
Yes.
Yeah, all of that. Yes.
That was a big part of my private school experience.
Really?
Through elementary school.
I forgot you went to private school. Oh, yeah. Of course you went to private school. It's the most Webster thing I've ever heard. During my private school days.
During my private school days, they taught us the difference.
I hate
of
that your voice
forks and
changed
spoons.
Into. What did it just change into? You've done that voice in D&D, and I can't remember what exactly it was, but I know that voice.
Not Zora Neptune. Oh. He's a lot more.
No, because Zora Neptune is almost like Squilliam a little bit.
It's Squilliam if Squilliam was actually hot.
He was actually. Oh no, he's hot.
Oh no, he's hot.
No. But we met in Cotillion because we went to the same school and we found out we went to the same school. And the last thing of Cotillion was this big like banquet dance. Okay. And so you ate dinner, you practiced all the manners you had learned, and then it was a big dance, but it was all ballroom dancing. And so, you know, I'm wearing like my cute little dress and, you know, I think my dad had taken me just to like chaperone, you know, and make sure everything was like good. And, you know, he walks up to me and he asks me to dance. I didn't think he
Your
was
dad?
Like, no, the guy. I didn't think that, like, you know, it wasn't like I saw him and was like, oh my gosh. Like, it wasn't anything like that.
And there he was.
No, but I was just excited that someone had asked me.
Of course,
I was just like, oh my gosh, a boy asked me to dance?
I met a boy. Dude, in Avatar when they said that.
Oh, I didn't know
Russell
why y'all were freaking
lost
out so
his
hard.
Real quick, in Avatar Way of Water.
This isn't like a big spoiler or anything.
No, there's just that one of the characters is talking to their whale friend. That's the best. I mean, yeah. And she's talking to her. She's like, I met a boy.
She doesn't obviously say it like that. But, you know, but that's a meme in our group is just saying, I met a boy. And then
walking out of the room. Right? Like, from Greece, like, I met a boy, cute as can be.
And
right?
It was very funny because in the movie, I didn't know why y'all were freaking out until Samuel, like, heard you guys and told me. Because I was sitting as far away from them as I could.
That was by design, by the way.
By design.
I consciously went, put me on the end. I'm going to ruin this experience for Danielle if left unchecked.
Yes, and I greatly appreciate it. but... No, so Samuel leans over and tells me, and it was even funnier because even in the movie, she says it and then it cuts away immediately. So,
it
like,
does!
It didn't continue. It
I
was
met
the
a
meme.
Boy.
But, like, it was great.
Anyway, you met
yes,
a boy.
I met a boy. And so, you know, he asked me a dance, and I was like, ooh, yes, I'm excited. And, you know, and my dad was really excited for me because, like, that had always been a thing. Not that he was ever worried about, but I was so independent and such a tomboy that, like, I think specifically he was kind of like, you know, I'm more worried for her that, like, she's going to get a complex because she's so, like, independent.
That she's going to be one of them gays.
Well, no. That wasn't a... I don't think that was ever a concern with me.
That was definitely a concern with me.
Really?
My dad... There was like, about a year and a half where my dad was like, dude, Tyler's fucking gay.
Really?
Tyler's gay as shit. He's been hanging out with Corbin all the time. They always go into the basement. Like, your boy's fucking gay. And we did a, I'm sorry to derail.
No, it's okay.
Corbin and I, he was one of my best friends.
Is your cursed love story, so tell us about it.
Corbin was out of the closet, queer as a $3 bill, and I fucking loved him. He was like my brother. Like,
okay.
for real. There was never anything weird. He was this big, burly bear type guy, and I was a fucking skinny little twink, right? And he was just like, bro, I love you. You're my brother. I just don't fuck with you like that. And I'm like, that's great because I'm not gay. So, like, this works out, right? And so, but we were like brothers, man. Like, he basically lived at our house like for like 2 summers straight. Like, it was like that's how it was. And my family like took him in under their wing and was like, dude, you know, we love you. And we were gonna make a YouTube channel. I think the YouTube channel still exists. I don't think we posted anything on it.
He says to try to discourage me from immediately picking up my phone.
It's called Southern Jews. What is it?
Southern what?
Southern Jews, like Ram Ranch or some shit. What? I can't fucking remember. But we were gonna do these really fucking. We were young and we thought it'd be cool to be on YouTube. So
okay.
So one of the things we were gonna do was we got our hands on a copy of P90X, that really extreme workout.
Yeah.
And we were gonna do the workout as unfit individuals and just like try and play up the hit it like you live. Come on now, you know what I mean? And just be really like stupid with it. And so we did that, right? Okay. And we did that in the basement. Now, if you're one floor above,
oh, no.
And in my dad's office, it totally sounds like we're having sex. And so, like, Corbin left, and I'm just like, I'm going to go take a shower. And then I come back down, because I'm all sweaty from the workout.
Oh, no.
And so I come back down, and Dad's just like...
Of course it looks even more suspicious, because you immediately went to shower.
I'm going
to
go take a shower. So I come back down, and Dad's, like, in the kitchen. He's just, like, propped up against the stove, and he's just, like, his head's in his hands. He's like, Tyler, can I talk to you for a second? And I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And he's like, listen, man. I've said that I accept you for whoever you are, right? And that's true. And I'm like, where are you going with this? And he's just like, did you and Corbin fuck downstairs? And I'm like, what then? No. He's like, Tyler, the whole neighborhood heard you guys fuck. Like, it's fine. I still love you. But, like, you're fucking gay. If you fucked another guy, you're gay. Like, you know that, right? And I'm like, Dad, I didn't fuck Corbin. We went downstairs, and I have the video if you want to see it. And he goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, no. I didn't fuck Corbin. We went downstairs. We took the P90X fucking tapes, and we were doing a funny, like, comedic fucking hit it like you live kind of fucking workout.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, you're not fucking with me. And I'm like, I'm being for real. I will show you the video. We are with clothes on the entire time. There's no fucking gay shit. We are just working out. And he goes, oh my fucking God, I thought you were gay. Oh my God. And I'm like, is that bad? He goes, no, it's not bad. It's just, I thought you fucked Corbin. I thought you were gay. And I'm like, you keep saying that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not. If you want to be gay, be gay. And I'm just like, okay, Dad. I'm like, I appreciate it.
And to this day, he still thinks you're gay.
No, but there was like, he even said, he's just like, there was a gap of time. I was like, I was fucking convinced you were gay. And I'm just like, I'm not fucking gay. My mom was the only person who's just like, I know he acts like he's gay, but he's not.
Yeah.
Like, my mom got it. She's just like, there's not a snowball's chance in hell he's gay, but I get it. Like, I get it if that's how you infer.
There was a friend of mine who, I've mentioned him to you, my really good guy friend at the end of high school.
Mm-hmm.
He would come over, you know, to my parents' house all the time. Like, he and my other friends just came over to watch movies, go swimming, whatever. And so my parents knew them all really well. And my mom, because he was, you know, big theater guy, and, you know, had some of the, had some of, like, the same kind of, like, metrosexual energy that you're familiar with.
Sure.
And so he, you know, he was just this big, crazy, charismatic ball of energy.
Okay.
And so my mom was convinced he was gay. Like, so convinced. And I was like, Mom, he's not gay. Like, I know him very well. And if he was, he honestly would probably be out by now because of, like, the amount of, like, you know, just with everything going on in his life. Yeah. He and how confident he is. I truly believe he would already be out by now if he was.
Of course.
But he's not.
Right.
Like, I know he's
just
not.
He's
just not.
Right.
And she was like, I don't buy it. And then he started dating his now wife. And I was like, see, he's not gay. And she was like, I'm still not convinced.
I don't know.
And I was like, all right, I'll make you a bet. And she was like, okay. And I was like, and I held up my hand. I was like, you owe me, let's say, $50 if he marries a woman. And she was like, okay, you're on. And so, like, I think it was either beginning of this year or end of last year, they got married. And I was like, see, Mom, he's not gay. And she
was
like,
pay up, motherfucker.
And she was still like, I still kind of think he is, but whatever. He married a woman, so I guess it doesn't matter.
That's amazing.
No, but she was so convinced.
So real quick to dive back in, rudely interrupted
yes.
you. You met a boy.
I met a boy. And so we, you know, I think we went to, holy crap. I just like had a stroke.
That's a Tyler Webster moment.
Yeah, for real.
Holy shit.
But so we went to the same school and we, you know, had a bunch of classes together. And so we started getting to know each other, hanging out more, calling each other on our parents' landlines because that was how far back this was.
Oh, my God.
Having to, like, take the phone off the hook on the wall, take it upstairs and be like, hey, and hope that someone doesn't pick up the downstairs one.
That's amazing. Oh, my God.
We, you know, he asked me to be his girlfriend. It was not romantic like the relationship from my end at all. Like, we dated for like 6 months. And for me, it was not even a little bit romantic. The only, because I was not a good person back then. So I accepted his invitation to be his significant other because I wanted the status of having a boyfriend.
I had a boy.
Exactly. And so I was like, ooh, I want this. But I didn't talk about, like, so I had my portal thing. He believed he was a merman. Like, straight up. He would tell me. He would call me and be like, yeah, like, you know, I spilled like some water on myself during like class today and I had to like run out. Green. And I was just like, okay. Like, even then I like didn't buy
it. Like, that's lame as shit.
I was like, okay.
Can we go back to talking about my fucking awesome portals? Fucking merman. What an idiot.
No, we talked about a bunch of stuff, but, cause we did have a lot of common interests, but I just didn't see him that way.
Yeah.
And, so by the end of the year, you know, last day of school, all of my friends are telling me he's gonna try and kiss you because we hadn't kissed. And so,
6 months.
Yeah. Cause I was 11 and didn't.
Oh, see you're him. 11. Okay. Yeah, I was 11. Yeah.
And so,
okay.
I was like, I don't want this. And so I'm not even kidding. This is what happened.
Oh, Jesus.
So the halls are empty and because I think I had to like stay for a few minutes to get something. And so I'm like trying to speed out of the school, get to my car and just go home because I was like, I don't want to have to deal with whatever this is going to be. So I'm going and he wasn't like waiting for me. It was just the universe said, fuck you, and made us run into each other. And there's no one else in the halls.
I have something teed off when you're
yes,
done.
There's no one else in the halls. I'm like holding all my little like books, my flute case from band. And I'm just like, and he kind of stands there and he's just as nervous as I am. But like, I can tell that like, you know, that I could tell even then that I don't even think it was something he really wanted to do. Cause he's gay now. I think he genuinely was just like, we've been together 6 months. It's the end of the year. This is the right time, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, it was one of those things where neither of us really wanted to do it.
Oh my God.
And so he comes up, he doesn't even look me in the eye. He looks kind of like down to the side. And this is straight up what he says. He goes, because he knew I knew. Like, he knew the friend he told came straight to me and told me. So he was like, she's not under any illusions. And so, because I'm standing there deer in the headlights, he looks down and he goes, well, pucker up. And I went, and I said, there's cameras in the hallway. That's kind of weird. Let's not. Oh, and so he was just like, God. Okay. And like, we just went our separate ways. And then I sent him an email breaking up with him.
Oh my God.
I figured I would start out the cursed love episode with the most cursed love you've ever heard of.
You fucking, well,
oh, and it's not even done. Up. It's not even done. So I broke up with him over email.
Fucking email.
I sent him an email basically saying, like, to whom it may concern.
Oh!
And I was, and as soon as I sent it, I was like, oh, so I feel so much better. But his mom had paid for us to go to the aquarium a week later.
Oh.
And she didn't have, like, anyone else teed up to fill my spot. So we still went. A week later,
oh my God.
We had to make the drive together from Columbus to the Atlanta Aquarium,
oh my God.
We're riding in the back. She had like one of those little TV things, you know, on the back screen. Uh-huh. So we're like watching it. We're watching Enchanted. This is like scarred into my brain. We're watching Enchanted, and he passes me this like little note that was like him pouring out how much he's always gonna love me and like all of this stuff while we're watching this romantic movie with his mom right there, and we're broken up about to get to the aquarium, and I'm like, this is my nightmare. This is actually my nightmare.
Oh.
So we had to spend the whole day at the aquarium, and his mom is like, she's being super nice to me. Like, right. She was like, you know, whatever, like, you know, this isn't like a serious like relationship, whatever.
Yeah.
And at one point he went to the bathroom and she was just being super nice, just like talking to me, but it was so uncomfortable because then, like, you know, we're driving back and he's like, you know, trying to like hold my hand and stuff like in the back seat, and I was like, no, I'm good.
Oh my
like,
God, that's
it was the most cursed thing.
Nightmare.
So cursed. It was awful.
That's pretty fucking cursed. That's pretty cursed.
I had to come in hot with my worst one.
All right, I'll tickle your catastrophe.
Okay. And then I have another one that was the next year after that.
So I didn't know if I was gonna go into this one, but this one's pretty spicy. I don't want to incriminate her. I'm not going to. Like, I'm super not going to.
Well, yeah, don't say any names.
I'm not, but, well, yeah, no one who knows me, no one outside of the circle who already knows this story would infer this. The girl I'd lost my virginity to.
Yeah.
Okay? Phenomenal person. Even to this day. To this day, she's just incredible. I've got nothing but a deep and genuine respect for her.
Yeah.
But I have been very vocal about some shit that I did that was bad, mm-hmm. and some, you know, and other people have that luxury as well of making some mistakes and maybe saying something that you shouldn't say, right? Yeah. So I don't think this person should be remembered as the person who did that, because that's not who she is.
Okay.
But she did definitely do this, okay?
Okay.
So her, she was, I can't believe I'm saying this on the podcast. She was, shut up.
I can't believe it either.
She was orphaned at like 13.
Oh, okay.
It was fucking brutal. It was a profound awful.
Yeah.
What she had to go through and endure. And I will always have a desperate level of respect for this woman for everything that she has. Right? Yeah. So we had dated. I'd lost my virginity to her.
Mm-hmm.
We dated for like it had to have been like 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
And it just wasn't working
out. Out of curiosity, how long did y'all wait before that happened?
So it's funny. We had dated for like 2 or 3 weeks before we made it official. And then we had dated for like that 4.5 months.
So it was like casual for like 2 to 3 weeks. And then it was like exclusive from that point.
Exactly. Okay. Like we were dating, and then we went boyfriend, girlfriend. You know what I mean? Official.
What is now considered talking to official.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And so, and that's what it was. And missed out on a three-way with that. It was 2 days before I was going to ask her out. And we were having a party at her place, and it was the first time I'd ever gotten drunk. And it was me, the girl, her best friend, my girl was bi, mm-hmm. so she was super into the friend, and then my lesbian friend, and her other friend, who is a mutual friend of me and my girl,
mm-hmm.
Who, she was a mutual friend of both of ours, and she was, I think, bi as well.
Mm-hmm.
And my lesbian friend was making out with the bi girl, and I was okay. I was trying to go to sleep because I was really drunk. It was the first time I'd ever drank. We got drunk off of peach schnapps.
Oh boy,
it was awful. You can imagine the hangover. So we were getting ready to go to bed, and it was me and my girl on one side and the friend on the other.
Oh boy,
no one's official, and because no one's official, the friend reaches over and is like, "Hey." And then starts making out with me. And then I roll over and start making out with my girl. And everyone's super into it and consenting.
Yeah.
But because I had not lost my virginity yet, I'm like...
That's like, you can't do that for your first time.
I really fucking wanted to. And looking,
that would have been so overwhelming, though.
I don't know. I think I would have managed. But, but so that happened and then it didn't. And it didn't specifically because I was like, I am so into this girl and I want this to be a thing. I don't want to ruin it by like having it start off like this, because then it's going to cast the whole relationship in a certain light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just didn't want that. So we ended up getting together, and so we had been seeing each other for like 2.5 weeks at this point. And when we become official, she's like, okay, like straight up, listen, I am very sex positive.
Yeah.
I love sex, and we're going to have sex. You are a virgin. That is not going to last as long as we're together. Okay. But you have been very vocal that you want your first time to be for love. So we're not going to have sex until we're in love with each other. Okay.
I mean, that's very respectable that she, like, knew that boundary of yours. However, I know that didn't happen.
I'm smiling wide because there's a but. Because then she hits me with, however.
Oh, boy.
I am a very sexual individual. I am not going to make it easy on you. She's like, I am telling you right now, I will not be able to stop myself. You are going to have to get me to stop, and I'm going to try and tempt you with it. Your job is to say no. And I'm like, What the fuck kind of job is that to give a virgin who's super into your... She was a model, too. She was a fucking actual model.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck kind of shit is this? And so it's how I got absolutely adept at killing the mood. If I am not fucking with it, I will sabotage the mood immediately. And so I ended up developing quite a diverse arsenal of things that I can do to sabotage the mood, right? Where, you know, let's say the girl's on top of you and she's really trying to like push things in a certain direction, and she's like, you know, kind of getting up to you. You like, you kiss her on the neck and you go over to the ear, right? And when you're in her ear, you're just like,
just some cringe shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just some cringe shit. We're just like, oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? And just do that. And she's like, oh, that's kind of not hot. I'm like, is it? Is it not hot? Come on, suck on this dick. And she's just like, oh, I don't like this anymore. And I'm like, hey, got him.
There you go.
We're not in love yet. We're not allowed to. So, oh my God, the fucking audio. The audio wave, doing all that shit is so funny.
Oh, trust me, it's in, like, every episode. You can see, like, where you get really, like, animated. Stupid with it. Yeah.
That's very funny. So that was it, right? And, did I tell my story about how I lost my virginity on the podcast?
I feel like you did.
I know. I have so many fucking stories.
I know.
Anyway,
maybe just summarize.
Yeah, TLDR. It was fine to do everything else that wasn't like actual like penis vagina sex. You know what I mean?
Really quick, what is so I know it means to summarize. What actually does that stand for? So I know TLDR means like here's the summary.
Too long, don't read.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Or didn't read, depending on, you know, whatever the context. But yeah, so it's like the spark notes on something.
Okay.
I
knew it meant summary. I just had no clue what it actually stood for. Anyway.
So the. The fucking, basically, we were doing all kinds of other stuff, right? And so she was really into, like, all the freaky shit, so she wanted to do, like, bondage stuff, so we got, like, handcuffs and whatever, and it was, like, restrained, taking care of the other person.
Yeah.
Right? And it was, like, the plastic little cheap pieces of shit fucking handcuffs that, you know, this isn't some Herculean feat, I'm not a badass. But I was restrained with the handcuffs, and she's just like, oh, well, fucking...
Oh, you did definitely tell this, yes.
On the podcast?
Yes.
Yeah, and so she's just like, yada, 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 so I broke out of the handcuffs, and I was like, wait, but it was too late, and then we had sex, and it was phenomenal. It was a fucking wonderful experience. I'm super grateful for it. And the fact that it happened like that, I thought that was great, because I wanted the first time to be weird to a certain degree. You know what I mean? Like, I'm crazy about my firsts. You know, my firsts for everything always have to be wacky to some degree. You know what I mean? And they all definitely were. So that happened. So when we ended up breaking up, we broke up because I started realizing I'm confident.
Mm-hmm.
I've realized my own power. I am not a, you know, I am developing my charisma. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to really be able to talk to people. And I was able to pull this fucking hottie, right? I'm not just gonna roll with her. I gotta roll with everyone.
Gosh.
And this is where I became a fucking massive dick.
Yeah.
I was college made me a fucking dick, dude.
Well, good thing you dropped out.
I did. I was like, fuck that. So in college, I was like, I really want to fuck other people. And we were having some trouble at home as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Things were not 100% great. There was a lot of things. It was actually funny. This girl had mirrored my long-term relationship in a lot of ways.
Mm.
A lot of ways. It's one of the things that attracted me to the long-term girl.
Yeah.
It was like, she's basically this person, but with this. And then it was like, but it's not with this. She's just this person. And it's just like, shit. So all that being said, because they're both blondes with really fucking... Never mind.
maybe hold off on that.
I'm trying to trip down memory lane. So all that's to say, I broke up with her and I tried to do it as nice as I could. And I was just like, you know, I do love you. I just don't think that this is working for these reasons. And she was like, I'm begging you, like, don't. And she starts crying. And it's this whole thing. We're talking for like 30 minutes. And then she looks at me and she says, when I kill myself, my blood will be on your hands.
Oh, you did tell me about
this. This is the worst amount of pain I've ever felt since my parents died. And I'm like, Oh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Like, oh, shit. Like, I don't, God, that's awful. Awful, awful, awful. So that was pretty cursed. So since then, we had this, because we had dated officially 3 times. Mm-hmm. And it was this back and forth and back and forth and back and forth where it's like, we loved each other. We loved each other. We just weren't right for each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, the fucking universe and all of its wonder has given me that thrice at this point.
Yep.
There are 3 women who I have had that back and forth and back. I love you, we're just not right. And it's my own personal hell. And so...
Is the problem with being Mr. Charisma Man is that you can, you know, you can pull in not necessarily anybody you want, but most people that you want, and therefore you don't have nearly as much of a filter as you probably should.
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Because as soon... Well, it was also, it doesn't help that I was bullied mercilessly through middle school and high school to where it was like, I was so undesirable. I was less than nothing. Right? I didn't exist.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any sense of confidence. I didn't have any sense of self or identity. And it was just, I was scared all the fucking time. Right?
And, trust me, you're preaching to the fucking choir on that one.
And it just to be so insignificant and then to foster through the theater some tiny shred of significance. Right? Is like this, you know, it's just black darkness for everything. And then, like, a little tiny light appears. And you're so desperate for anything that you grab onto it and hold onto it as tight as you can. And you do everything you can to foster this. And the more energy you pump into this, the more the light gets bigger and bigger and bigger and starts becoming its own plane of existence. And you're building this world for yourself by just giving everything to this.
And then you open a portal and there you go. And you're in the other world.
I'm just saying, I just really identify with the whole portal thing. So, I'm real close to a spit take. That would have been amazing. So, you know, when you go through that and finally learn how to present yourself and start to get attention from women, you're like, wait. You're interested in me? And then it becomes the angel and the devil, right?
Yep.
The Tyler 1.0 and the Tyler 2.0. You're interested in me? Of fucking course she is, dude. Look at you. Look at what you've become. Of course she's interested in you. You're like, yeah. Yeah, she is. It's like, it's because you're confident. It's like, well, shit, if this girl likes me, and she's, you know, she's not, you know, a model by any means. She's cute, but it's like, if she likes me, and I'm this confident, what if I get more confident? What if I even get more confident? What the wonders we could do if I genuinely believe that I am God. And I am. And that was how insane it got. You know what I mean?
Goodness.
That's how insane it fucking got. It was super fucking cursed. And so...
Definitely good that I didn't meet you back then.
Oh my God. Because
I probably would have hated you.
You all would have hated me. Oh my God. Yeah, you guys would have... I hated me. Ugh. So all that's to say, the thing that inspired all of this,
yes,
is I was where was I? I was seeing that mutual friend I was telling you about. I was seeing her production of Sweeney Todd. I was seeing her production of Sweeney Todd, and it was during intermission, and I was told that my ex wasn't going to be there, but she was, and I didn't know that. And a buddy of mine, who I had known through the theater, right, came up to me and was like, bro, your ex is here. And I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. And this was back still with the, I know we don't work together, but fuck, I still love you, right?
Yeah.
So it was like that, I hate that I'm this excited to see you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like a fucking movie. Right? I ended up running to the restroom right when they were doing like the ding dong, right? Get back into your seats.
Yeah.
So as I'm coming back out, I'm like in the middle of this large crowd. I'm at the very end of this large crowd, right? Making their ways to the fucking doors. And I get a phone call real quick and I answer the phone and I'm just like, yeah, okay, all right, okay, cool, I'll be right there. Click. And as I turn around, the crowd is gone and it's just her standing there in front of the doors with her arms folded. And she looks at me and she says, hello, my love. And I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, hey stranger, how you doing? And of course, it was just like, it was just super toxic, back and forth and back and forth. And yeah, it was just, I just remember how, like, this is awful. When we had broken up, it was mutual. Because we were both like, this just isn't working, right? And we finally came to grips, like, this really isn't working.
And that's what I believe happens with most relationships that are like that, is, you know, if someone doesn't really put their foot down from the beginning, it's gonna be that. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be, you keep trying, you keep trying, you keep trying, and eventually, like, hopefully before you get married, you figure out, you both wake up and are like, yeah, this isn't it.
Well, how about this? So we'd mutually broken up and a week went by and I went, this is the biggest mistake of my life.
Oh my God.
I know, because it's toxic. And I was like, no, 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 this is the only girl for me. Period, period. I'm going to make this work. And so I reached out and I was like, hey, can we get some coffee? She's like, yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. So we get some coffee and I sat her down and I was like, I've been on this huge, like, self-realization kick. I said that so many times. And I'm like, it's you. It's always been you. I love you and I'm sorry. I've hurt you. I have betrayed your trust. And frankly, I don't deserve being with you through everything that's happened, but you are the only person for me. And I poured my heart out to her. And this is a week after we broke up. Mm-mm. Now, backstory, through the relationship, there was this guy who was like her, I'm going to say this, and then I'm immediately going to walk it back.
Okay.
I am to you what this guy was to her.
Okay.
A guy, a straight guy, yeah, who is super close with you and not a threat.
Yeah.
Right? Like, genuinely not a threat.
Yeah.
And so, I believed he wasn't a threat. The girl believed it was like, he's not a fucking threat. Right? But there was
the second y'all broke up, he was a threat.
There was, well, it's not even that we broke up. It was just, there was always this in the back of my mind. Everyone knew, while he isn't a threat because of how in love with me she was.
Yeah.
He definitely was in love with her.
Mm,
and I knew
one
that.
One of those things.
So yeah. it was one of those things where it's like, I know you're not a threat because, like, she's mine and she knows that she's mine.
Yeah.
But
the second I'm out of the picture,
you're going to try and dive in.
Yeah.
And, but so it was a huge source of anxiety for me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I didn't know that anything had happened, but she was basically like, I'm so sorry, but there's somebody else. And I'm like, what? And she's like, not only is there someone else, I'm in a committed relationship with this person. And I'm like, it's been a week. So it was like really sus, like that she was doing some shit on the sly while we were together. Like, she didn't cheat and she stands that she didn't cheat, and I believe her. I have to, or I will fucking implode. But so I believe that she didn't, but I do believe that there was some talking and some shit that was being said in the lead up that what made us both leave.
Well, and I mean, I can't say anything about that because that's how me and Samuel started.
I also can't say anything about it because I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone when that happened, like when that inspired the breakup. It was a past flame from like a bajillion years ago.
Yeah.
We got together and we had this like, will they, won't they? Like, it's like in Bandstand. Where they were fucking singing at each other. We both really want to, but this is wrong.
Yeah.
And it was that moment. We had that moment where we both were like, holy fuck, we almost kissed. And I was like, I almost fucking cheated. This is, no, 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 no. We're breaking up immediately. The fact that I could even think about that. Oh my God. Oh my fucking God, you pathetic fucking cunt. And so we broke up. I ended up getting with the girl.
Yeah.
And I just felt nasty.
Yeah.
I felt nasty. And I was like, this is wrong. This is right. And I need to fucking fix it. And so when she was just like, I'm with this guy. And I'm like, well, who are you with? And she's like, the guy. And I'm like, I remember how much of a bright burn and just ache. I felt like I was poisoned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That profound pain that sharp, bright, searing, poisonous, venomous pain right in your chest that you feel when you are just devastated. Oh my God, I was fucking inconsolable. I handled myself like a, you know, like a gentleman. I left and then I broke the fuck down. Because I was just, I was hurt. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, it was the universe smacking me in the mouth, just like, wake the fuck up, Tyler. You gotta find someone else, right?
Yeah, saying like, no, this is not your person. In fact, there's someone that is probably better for her that she has found.
Around the bend.
Like, please.
Oh, no, 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 no. She ended up, so that guy, super not it. He was not great
for her. Okay, well, in the world, there is someone better
for her. She ended up with somebody that, I don't think they're married, but they've been together for like 5 years now, and they're head over heels in love with each other, and I love him. Mm-hmm. Because through my process of like, of just like moving on, I still love her because of course I do, but well, not, yeah, but I mean, it's not
she
like
was,
that.
She was like, you know, you're, I mean,
she was my first time, yeah, like, and like, my first real passionate love.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely love him for what he provides to her.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for
and
her.
And that's super, super like honest with it as well. And so, it started off toxic, but she ended up with the person that she was meant to be with. And I've got nothing but love and respect for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's ultimately the point. And it was funny, too, because there was a moment when she had broken up with the guy, right? Before she had found her new guy that she was
been with.
Where
she reached back out to you.
Of course she did. And invited herself over. And I thought, like, all the fires. And this is back when I was rolling with Naomi's crew.
Okay.
And I was texting Naomi. I was like, then at the time, Naomi, right? I don't want to be, I don't want to be rude or disrespectful. Past tense, Naomi, present tense, Nate.
Got it.
I want to be clear. I was texting her and she was just like, do not. And I'm like, you can't ask me to do that. Of course I'm going to. And she's like, don't, you're just going to hurt yourself. And I'm just like,
I like Naomi.
I'm like, I have to see this. You would fuck with Nate so much, dude.
Yeah, they're his.
He, him, he, now. Him.
Okay, yeah. Got it. I like his vibe. I like his vibe.
He is, I miss him. The God's honest truth is I very much miss him.
Well, Nate, whenever you've told a story about past tense Naomi, all it seems like to me is like the butch version of myself. And I'm like, I love that. I vibe with that energy. That's awesome.
Into books, into literature, big filmmaker, just.
Hell yeah.
You guys would get along famously.
Hell yeah.
So all that's to say, so Naomi was just like, you are making one of the biggest mistakes that I have witnessed in our friendship. Don't do this. And I'm just like, no, I'm fucking going to. And she came over and she spent the night. Not like that, because it wasn't like that. It almost was, but it wasn't.
Okay.
We just slept in the same bed together. Nothing happened.
Okay.
Right? Kissing, obviously, but nothing happened. And I just I was super depressed at the time because I was going through some shit. It just felt like I could breathe for a split second. You know what I mean? It just like, I felt warm again. Like, I know that sounds super fucking lame and flowery.
I know what you're talking about. And if it's with, okay. So this is where I'm going to dive in a little bit.
Yeah.
There are obviously people that, you know, feel safe, feel like home. Mm-hmm. And so when you're with those people, everything feels better, you know? And when you end up, obviously, with your person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, whoever that is, that's what that feels like. But it feels that way not in the sense of, like, how do I describe it? Because I also don't want to give the wrong idea. It's not the sense of, like, this, it's not like a sparkler, you know, mm-hmm. this thing that's popping off in all directions and, like, And you're holding it and it's exciting and it's creating like all these crazy things all around you. And then it eventually burns away.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like just a very warm
fireplace that doesn't turn off.
Right, not even always a roaring one, mm-hmm. but the embers are not going to go out. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just embers, they're yeah. still going to be there. You may have to get a little closer and fan the fire a little bit,
yeah.
to bring it back to where it needs to be. But with that person, instead of having that sparkler effect, which is a lot more exciting, mm-hmm. it's not going to keep you warm.
Yeah.
And it's not going to make you happy long term because it's going to burn out.
Yeah.
It's like that fireplace that is never going to go out as long as you attend to it.
Yeah.
Then it's always going to be there. And that's, you know, and so I hear stories like that. And I hear even friends now talk about people that they're like, I just feel so much better when I'm with them or, you know, whatever. And you can tell when it's either a sparkler or a fireplace.
Yeah.
You can tell just by the way that they act when they're like, oh, it was so good to see them. It like, there is something in the way people just talk about the people that they're with.
Yeah.
And like, even you saying it just then, I'm like, yeah, that was the sparkler effect. Like, it, yes. like it was.
Well, the funniest thing was it felt, okay. Have you ever been in a heated pool in the wintertime?
What are you talking about? Have I ever been? We concussed each other in a heated pool in the wintertime.
Yeah, you're so right. Holy shit. Okay. So, in a heated pool in the wintertime, it's obviously freezing. But the pool feels, it's nice and warm, right? Yeah. And just swimming around the heated pool, if as long as you're moving, you're like, this is really good. Yeah. Right? This is really, really nice. But the jets that keep the... they're not crazy jets, but the jets that keep the water moving,
yeah.
that are also infusing the water with hot water, right, heating it up, are always a lot warmer mm-hmm. than the rest of the pool.
Yeah.
So if you go up to one of those jets and sit next to it, it's a little bit higher temperature, so it's nice. It's really, really nice. But then the rest of your body, who's not touching the jet, feels the cold.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just like, this is warm, and then you leave, you're like, okay, I'm like actually like I'm heating up a part of my body to the point where everything is starting to get cold, and this warm pool is supposed to be warm, and now it's cold because of this fucking, because I've been spending so much time over by the jet, and you swim around and you just can't feel that warmth again.
Yep.
Right? Being with her in that moment, just being next to her, felt like huddling up against a jet that's not big enough for me, giving me a little bit of warmth, knowing that I'm about to ruin this experience for me.
Yeah.
That's how it felt. And I knew it was wrong. You know what I mean? Because it felt wrong. There was something wrong about this.
Yeah.
Right? And when it ended up blowing up in my face, it was so funny because I was so vulnerable. I was just like ready to completely recommit myself to this. And she was just like, that was just supposed to be like a for fun thing. Like, I'm busy and I'm seeing other people and like it's whatever. And I'm just
you
like,
you got Tyler'd.
Yeah.
You got Tyler'd.
Yeah. I got fucking Tyler'd. So, cause I remember it was, she was like ghosting me. And I was just like, hey, all of my friends are telling me that this is a really bad idea and that we're not good for each other and that you're kind of playing me. Right? They're telling me that you're playing me. I am this vulnerable right now. If you just tell me that you're not playing me, I'll believe you. I just need to hear you say it. And she's just like, I can't believe that they would say things like that, yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, girl, just say it. She's like, and she kept changing the subject. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. Oh my fucking God. And that was probably her at her lowest at that point. I mean, since then she's, you know, everything looks, I don't want to speak to it because it's not like I've talked with her, but from the outside looking in, she looks really fucking happy. And that means a lot to me. Right. But that was that last stab into the heart where it was like, I'm done. I'm done.
You've awakened my final form.
it allowed me to release her from my heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was that last little bit, that little shred of soul that I had kept from her, of her, in like a cage in my heart. And it's like, as long as I'm holding on to this piece, you can't get good and I can't get good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just that last little wound opened up the cage and then she was gone and I was left with nothing. So I was like, no, oh my God, now it's just cold. And she was, you know, okay, cool. Now I have to go be a person. And then she ended up moving on and it was great. And I ended up filling that void with other things and became a fucking person. You know what I mean? Not completely beholden to... What was it?
curse love.
Curse love. Fish love.
Fish love. No, I... Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that I tell, you know, people, because it is also hard to understand the difference between really just loving being around somebody and codependency. Like, those yes. are... Those yes. can look yes. very yes. similar, yes. where, like, from the outside, it may look the same. Like, you know, just the fact that, you know, for instance, like, you know, me and Samuel love being around each other. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so what I need is, you know, like, kind of like with the whole flu thing. Like, I need a warning if I'm not going to be able to get, you know, just my love language in general mm-hmm. from him. But if I have a warning, I'm fine. Right. Everything's good. We're not worried about it. And if I know I'm going to be going like week or 2 weeks at a time, I can mentally prep for that and we'll be fine. But there is a difference between you just really love being around that person and what you just described, which was, if I don't have this person, I'm nothing. Like, yeah. I'm hopeless.
Fucking classic codependency.
Yeah.
Fuck
you. You're the worst. Yep. I knew that was gonna happen, and that's why I like didn't do it. I think you were like, go ahead, and I was like, he's gonna fucking do
By
it.
By all means, go right ahead.
Asshole. No, well, now that you've gone into the serious curse love, let's go back into some less serious curse love. That's more just like cringe. So I've got two, so one that was another ridiculous middle school one, so that, and none of these are super long.
Okay.
But I've got one that's here, one that is high school, the first time I fell in love with somebody and got really taken advantage of, and then college, the guy that I have compared to you in 1.0 version a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Is that Jazzman?
No, it's not Jazzman. Oh. It's Napoleon Complex.
Yes, that's right.
No, but, yes, I have nicknames for my past men, so I don't have to use their names.
I just love that he's Jazz Man.
There's Jazz awesome. Boy, there's Napoleon Complex, there's Magician.
Oh, yeah, Magician.
Yeah, there's Magician. But I actually have a lot of respect for Magician, so his wasn't really cursed.
Yeah.
No, so there was a guy, when I was in seventh grade, who I had a crush on in elementary school, and we reconnected in middle school, and he was like, yo, I really like you. And I was like, oh my God.
You
like,
made it?
I'm living the dream. Oh, well, we went to different schools.
This
so
is the height
when
of
you
luxury.
Go when you go to different schools in middle school, you may as well be on two different planets.
Sure.
Like it's not gonna happen. And he didn't go to church, like he didn't go to my church or anything, which is where all of my other friends were. So I was like, when are we ever gonna see each other?
Yeah.
So it was mostly just us, because I had a phone at that point. So it was mostly us like talking over on my giant desktop monitor on Facebook or or texting him on my little slide phone.
Such
and
a mood.
What happened is he had a friend who I think went to school with me. Yeah, that we had known from elementary school. Mutual friend.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me one day and was like, because we had been dating not for very long, like maybe a month.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me and was like, why did you guys break up? And I was like, excuse me? What are you talking about? And he was like, your boy told me that y'all broke up. And I was like, no, we didn't. We definitely didn't. And he was like, okay, well, I don't really know what to do with that information, but all right. So immediately I'm like, something's up. What's going on?
What the fuck's going on?
Yeah. And so that night, this was actually in our like church youth barn that this conversation happened. Cause my friend Amy, I told her about the situation. She was like, well, you got to call him, see what's going on. And I was like, yeah, okay. So we go into the bathroom, you know, where all the girls go to experience drama. So we go in there. Call him on my little I don't even remember, it was an alias, that's what it was.
And
he's like, hey, like being kind of weird about it. And I was like, hi, what's going on? I heard this weird thing from so and so that apparently you think we broke up. And he's like, well, yeah. And mentions this like random mutual, not even friend, just a mutual person we knew, and was like, well, yeah, so and so told me that you wanted to break up. And I was like, what are you talking about? Why didn't you talk to me? Like, why'd you just take their word for it? No, they're making that up. And he was like, oh. And I was like, so are we good? And he was like, well. And I was like, what do you mean, well? And he was like, well, I kind of started dating insert name of girl that goes to his school.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, excuse me? Without even talking to me, checking with me, you went and started dating somebody else. And He That's said, awful. He said, and I quote, "Yeah, but like when I'm done dating her," I didn't even let him finish. He started to say that, and that was, I think, the moment that this version of Danielle began to be born. Because the second he said it, I went, "Excuse me," and I went off in there. Obviously, I didn't curse or anything because, you know, little Jesus girl.
Yeah, you're in a church.
But yeah, well, and I just didn't back then. And so I'm like, but I went off.
You ne'er-do-well.
Well,
you
no.
rapscallion.
No, it was all, the thing, I didn't insult him at all. I was just like, if you think I would ever be anybody's second option, just waiting in the wings, you clearly do not know or deserve anything. Goodbye. And hung up.
Good for
and,
you. Fuck that guy.
And
when I'm done with her.
I know. And Amy is looking at me like, holy shit, what happened? And I'm like, I mean, he's fucking gone. Fuck him. Like, you know, what the fuck ever.
Damn, what a douchebag.
But so that was one. Then in high school, there was a guy, you know, my type, string bean man, who I fell for really hard. He went to church with me.
Okay.
And he was, I think, like 1 or 2 years younger, but I fell really hard for him, I think, when I was a junior, something like that. Sophomore or junior year. And I was so nervous because, obviously, I'd never had a successful relationship that wasn't, like, you know, awful. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I don't know how to do anything. I also don't know how to be flirty. I look like a boy. I dress terribly. I don't know how to apply my makeup. My hair looks like a, like, helmet on my head. Why would anyone ever want to, like, date me when they can date these attractive girls that I'm always hanging out with? Of which he did. And so, because he dated, I think, 2 of the girls in my friend group. And I was just like, okay, that's nice, as I'm at home just, like, sad writing in my journal about it. I have many a sad journal entry about that boy.
Tune in to Let Me Tell You Why, the uncovered journal, where we just
I actually don't have that journal anymore because I gave it to Alyssa.
Oh,
so she has that journal. If she didn't, like, lose it or trash it or something, but I gave it to her a long time ago.
We need to reach out to her.
See, it's not even, like, funny. It's, like, sad.
Oh, never mind.
It's, like, really sad.
Yeah, that wouldn't be cool.
It's sad or it's really cringe poetry, which was also in there.
Now,
a lot.
That is. Well, I'll tell you what, if we find that and read it, we'll read Depression the Musical.
Okay, deal. But so yeah, that's not even really a story, but he, I think, knew. He knew I had feelings for him, and so he would kind of ask for, not any, like, photos, because I wasn't comfortable with that, but he would essentially kind of ask for, like, dirty talk texting.
Yeah.
Of which I did not know how to do.
Ah.
And so I was just like, I want to participate because I want this to happen, but I don't know what to do. Like, I've never done anything. I haven't even kissed somebody yet.
I find a lot of people don't know how to do that.
Now I know how to do that. But back then, I was like, I don't even have a concept. I had not done anything with anybody. I hadn't even kissed anybody yet. And so I was like, I have absolutely no concept. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Right.
And so everything I said was super lame and, like, not even sexy. And so, like,
I'm gonna kiss you on your lips.
It wasn't even like that. It was like, it was like not even in the vein of what he was looking for. Like, it was really bad. And but like, he also didn't really know what he was looking for. He just knew kind of what, like, that this would be fun. And so, like, he kept kind of, like, coming back trying to get me to do it again. And eventually, I just finally, because whenever he texted me first, that was what he wanted. And so he texted me first one time, and I was just like, I was finally starting to kind of get angry about it. And I was just like, dude, why are you texting me? I know what you want.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, what do I want? And I was like, we both know why you're texting me first. And he was like, well, yeah. And I just didn't answer. And that was basically the last time that we, like, communicated. Because I was just like, I'm done.
Shit.
And then Napoleon Complex. We were, like, Christmas movie style everything where I don't even remember how we actually, like, connected at first, but we met somehow. I don't even remember how. Somehow through the Springer, because he was a big Springer guy. And, you know, super short, like 5'3", something like that. And so, you know, it was nice because I was like, oh, well, I don't have to, like, you know, crane my neck or anything. That's nice.
Right.
And I think we went on, where did we even go? I don't even remember. Oh, I think we literally just, like, hung out at my apartment, maybe? I don't know. I literally cannot remember how we first connected. But we ended up like seeing each other over Christmas break because he went to a school in New York.
Okay.
And so we met over Christmas break. And it was one of those, like, you know, we just had so much fun together. We could talk for, like, 4 hours on the phone and not get bored. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I had never been with, like, I had never experienced liking someone who also liked me just as much.
Mm.
And so I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, you know, it was always either, it was always one-sided. Like, either I was insanely crazy about them or the opposite. And so I was just like, this is awesome. Like, it's balanced.
Right.
And... you know, he knew all the right things to say. Very good at manipulation. Very charismatic. You know, Tyler 1.0, very much. And he said all the right things to make me believe that he seriously wanted to, like, commit to trying a long-distance thing.
Mm.
And so he was like, you know, let's try it. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm here for it. And we never even actually got past just making out.
Really?
Yeah, that was it. And he had talked about how he had a best friend up in New York who was a girl.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, that's fine. Whatever. I don't care. And I remember, so he would call me, like, you know, every day, and we would talk for a while just about, like, what had happened that day. Because, you know, we're both going to theater school, so we got lots of stories.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big, big movement guy. That was, like, our biggest thing where we connected, is we would do just improvised movement pieces together all the time. That were just so much fun and, like, you know, would get into a lot of, like, deep stuff, like, going on psychologically, and it was really cool.
Hmm.
And so, because he made me comfortable to start doing improvised pieces like that, and he kind of built up my confidence about, like, how good I was at it, because he's amazing at it. And so in his movement class up there, he told me one day, he was like, yeah, you know, me and insert name of best friend here are in this class together. And dude, I don't even remember, like, what happened during the piece. I just remember, like, because they did it in front of the class, you know, and it was an improvised piece. And apparently he was like, I kind of just blacked out for the piece. But I remember when, like, when we finished that everyone was just, like, crying. And I was just like, okay, I mean, that's cool. I'm glad you had that experience. And then, like, a week later, he calls me while I was on my way to work. Like, I'm walking into a shift serving. And he's like, hey... So, and he made up the most bullshit excuse.
Oh, God.
It was, like, clearly a lie, where he was like, yeah, my roommate, because his roommate had a lot of, like, mental health issues. He was like, yeah, like, my roommate just, like, you know, he just, like, he really needs me right now. And so I just can't, like, commit a lot of time to, like, anybody else. And I was just like, quit fucking, like, just, are we done? Can you just speak clearly to me?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I just think we should call it. And I was like, okay, fine, fuck you, and hung up. And because I knew it was a fucking lie.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was a lie because about 3 weeks later, he posted on his Instagram this, like, picture of her, like, covered in all these Christmas lights, all, like, artsy and stuff. And then I went to her Instagram, and, like, a week after we'd broken up, she had posted about, like, them. And I was just like, yeah, okay, so it was them.
Wow. But what was even worse
is that following summer, we were both slated to teach at the Springer Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only going to be there for the second half, just in July, and he was going to be there for the full summer. So I come in halfway through. And I'm jumping in with the teacher that he had been teaching with, and then he moved to a different class once I came in.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's, like, working literally the next studio over, and so he would pop his head in every now and then, just be like, hey, what's up? And I would just be like, get out. We're about to have students, please.
Yeah.
And so he starts getting really close with my close guy friend who was also teaching there that summer. So they're, like, super, super tight, hanging out all the time. And I'm just like, well, that's great. Love that.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Not to mention, this was also the guy that after I experienced my sexual assault, it was a friend of his who then I called him to tell him about it. And he was just kind of like, yeah, clearly not believing me.
Oh, my fucking God.
Because I needed to talk to somebody about it, and he totally didn't believe me. But, or if he did, he was super, like, not supportive.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, it is what it is.
That's fucking terrible.
But he wasn't the only friend who either didn't believe the story or thought that, like, I was asking for it. And so, you know, that was fun.
Well, but, you remember how my family responded to it with me.
Yeah. People fucking suck.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... He's there for the full summer, and like, he starts kind of connecting with me a little bit more. Of course, I'm like, you're dating that girl. Like,
yeah,
why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Like, and I assumed it was just because, well, I'm around my friend all the time, and so are you, and so, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of us spending time together. We just need to get over it. And sure. So, you know, I was being mature about it. I wasn't, like, being a dick. Mm-hmm. But in my head, this is my inner monologue that I'm talking about.
Right.
And so we ended up, like, spending a little bit more time together, like, just us two, because he had asked me, like, hey, you know, I kind of screwed you over, and I know I did. Can I just, like, take you to lunch and us try to clear the air? And I was like, you know what? Sure. That sounds fine.
Yeah.
So, like, we went to this nice little Chinese place, and, you know, he paid for it and everything, and it felt a lot like a date. Mm. And I was like, well, this is weird.
Yeah.
Because I know you have a girlfriend. Like, I know you do. Because I stalked you, so I know you do.
Right.
And I'm just like, and I stalked her, more importantly, because she has a public account.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, okay, this is weird. And it got weirder. Because, so I, you know, we were genuinely trying to be friends. And I was like, okay, you know, I was having a rough day, and it was a different day. And I've been like, hey, do you mind if we just, like, you know, just like, hang out and talk for a bit? I'm not trying to be sus. I just genuinely need to talk to somebody, and, yeah, like, all of my other friends are busy. And he was like, sure. So I went and picked him up, and I wanted to just go somewhere I knew that was not going to have other people. Mm-hmm. I was like, I just want to be in a space alone.
Yeah.
So I actually went out to my church, where behind it has this really pretty, like, kind of clearing out there, and I was like, I just want to go and sit.
Okay.
So we go and we sit out there, and he's like, so why'd you bring me out here? And I was like, honestly, I just wanted quiet. And I don't know where else I can get quiet that isn't, like, an enclosed space. Yeah. I wanted a quiet, open area, and this is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, okay. And we just kind of sat there for a bit. And he had been being very, like, very kind of, like, romantic and stuff. And so I was all, like, he had even told me, by this point, he had told me that he and that girl weren't dating, that they had broken up before they came down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, so it's not weird, you know? It like, in this, like, I'm not trying to make anything happen, but at least it's not weird, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're out there, and he puts on this song that to this day I still can't listen to. Like, I love the song, so I still listen to it sometimes, but I can't listen to it without remembering this. And because he put it on, and he starts just, like, moving around the space, and I was like, fuck are you doing? And he was like, I mean, I'm moving. And I was like, okay. And so at one point, you know, he kind of, like, pulled me up. We start going around, and this is where it's a little weird. So when I move, I go through all the levels. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm high, I'm mid, I'm low.
Yeah.
And, like, and so at one point, we weren't even really moving together. We were just sort of separately moving in the same space, you know?
Sure.
And so there was a point where I went and, like, completely in my own story, I had kind of forgotten he was there. And I go and I, like, lay down on the grass, and I'm just kind of letting, like, the music happen and thinking about it. And when I open my eyes, he's right here in front of my face, like, over me.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, and like, he kind of stays there for a second. He doesn't move in or anything. He just kind of stays here. And I was like, the fuck is happening? And he ends up, like, you know, getting up and kind of helping me get up, and we just finished the piece. But on the way back, because, you know, I had driven him out there, so we're driving back, and he's like, so what was your story, like, with that? Because that's what we would always talk about, is, like, what was your story?
Sure.
And so I told him kind of what it was, and he was like, well, what was I? Was I, like, something pushing you under, or did I pull you out? Because I was talking about how I was underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, and I was like, no, I mean, you pulled me out. Like, you didn't pull me in further. And he was like, okay. And I remember it was just very, like, intimate and like, a little more intimate than I was, like, ready for.
Comfortable with.
Than,
yeah.
But I thought they were broken up. So I was like, okay, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, whether anything comes of it, it's not a big deal.
Right.
A couple weeks go by, and I found out about his whole, he used the same move on me that he used with, like, every other girl. Because I think I told you about this, the really cringe saying that he said.
Oh, God, I remember you telling me, but I don't remember what it is.
I don't want to say it, but...
come on, you can't do that to her. Well, okay, if you're not comfortable with it, then...
Yeah, it's just really cringe, but I'll tell you afterwards. But okay. I found out because a mutual friend of mine, or a friend of mine had dated him way before I did,
mm-hmm.
and when I told her what he'd said to me, she was like, he's still using that?
That's fucking awful.
And so I was like, wow, he's used this on every single person. That's awesome that I'm not unique at all, and that I just fed into the same thing everyone else did.
Fucking terrible.
And so, and that was also the moment I became super cynical, and anytime any guy would use a line on me, I'm like, okay, so when's the last time he used that?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah. And, so... at that point, I was just done. Yeah. I was like, no matter whether you're still dating that girl or not, fuck you. I'm done.
Of course, yeah.
And he goes back up. And a couple months later, I got curious because he had reached back out to me for just like something weird. And I was mm-hmm. like, okay. And I go on his Instagram. There's nothing of her for a while. I go on hers.
Oh, no.
And about a week before, she had posted a 6-month anniversary with them.
Oh,
and I was like,
no.
So you're telling me he was flirting with me, got into a position where he could have very easily made something happen
mm-hmm.
with me alone Jeez. While dating this other girl?
Christ.
What a trustworthy man. What a great man. And then as soon as they broke up, I got a text from him and he was just like, hey. And I was like, what the fuck do you want? And he was like, well, me and insert name here broke up. And I'm like, oh, and that's why you're reaching out to me, right? And he was like, well, yeah, I just realized I kind of miss you. And I was like, and like, he starts talking about the things he missed. And I just like, didn't answer. I was just like, what the fuck? I'm done.
Damn.
Danielle does not give second chances. Learn your lesson the first time or don't come back.
Yeah, to our listeners at home, she doesn't.
But I just wanted to tell a few more stories since you went really in depth on yours.
Yes.
But
can I hit you with an actual quickie real quick?
Yeah, if it's quick, go ahead.
You had said something that sparked something. And this will be leaving on a really fucking silly note.
Okay, cool.
So this isn't even it is cursed. It's cursed because I'm a fucking idiot.
Oh boy.
I was a sophomore in high school. So this is me coming out of absolute freak of nature phase, right? Okay. And back at my sophomore year of high school, wrong numbers happened very frequently.
Oh, yeah.
And this girl who was roughly in the same age range, if not a little older than me, had called me.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that she was with her friends. And then I didn't know her from Adam, mm-hmm. right? And she called me and I was like, hey, what's going on? And she's just like, oh my God, no, you're not the one we were looking for. And I'm just like, yeah, no, this is Tyler. What's up? And she's just like, oh, well, I'm so-and-so and we're doing this and whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then we like started talking. Like we just started talking. And I was like putting the moves on her a little bit because I don't know her I don't even know if she's in Georgia. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like she could be in fucking Colorado for all I know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we were talking and your boy in the first instance of me ever being like kind of having some game, we're sitting there talking to each other and she was a little freak and we were talking about, you know, like dirty talk, right?
Oh my gosh.
And I had never dirty talked before.
Oh no.
I had barely kissed someone at this point.
Oh no.
And so I like put on my fucking driving gloves and I'm
no!
like, let's see what we got. I found that it's not even like a, oh my God, this is such an important thing for me. It's not like that at all.
Yeah.
But if my partner is really into it, I will match that and it'll be fucking great because it is something that I didn't realize. And I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I consider myself to be pretty fucking good.
You've talked about this before.
On the podcast?
I'm not sure about
talked about it with
you've
you.
You've definitely talked about it with me.
I'm pretty fucking good. And so it was one of those things where in for a penny, in for a pound. I could come clean and say that I'm a sophomore in high school that doesn't know anything because I think she was like 17 or something like that. So she was real close to like, you know.
To Sketchville. Yeah.
And so I told her that
Oh, no.
I told her that I was an author visiting the States from Australia.
What the fuck? Why?
I don't know.
That's so random.
She's just like, why are you fucking, like, she's like, why are you this good at it? And I was just like, well, I don't want to flex, but I am kind of an author.
No!
I'm from overseas. I'm visiting here to go to college.
And no!
She was so annoying. She's like, we were talking on the phone, and she's just like, I was telling my girlfriends, like, I'm sexting a fucking author from Australia. That's so cool. And I was just like, yeah, baby, it's crazy, isn't
Why
it?
Is this so Barney Stinson? I can't get over it. He pulls that shit on the show all the time where he's just like, yeah, I'm leaving on the Peace Corps tomorrow. Like, you know, it's so crazy. I'm helping humanity so much. You know, I just wish there was more I could do. And then the dumb girl he's talking to is like, well, that's I know something crazy. I could do for you. Oh, like, it's so insane.
Oh, my God.
My God.
That was fucking great. It was great. It was a huge sexual awakening for me.
No, I was just dumb and thought I could wrong number a guy into liking me.
Wrong number a guy into liking you? What does that mean?
As in, I got his number from somebody else, but he didn't have mine, and I texted him as though I was texting a friend of mine.
Oh my god, I remember this story.
Because that was the only move. That move and taking your hat were the two flirty moves I knew. And so if I stole your hat and walked away with it and wore it for the rest of the night, no guy ever picked up what it was, but it was me being like, oh yeah, we're just close like that.
You know something really fucking manipulative and bad that I used to do all the time that I realized, like, not recently, I realized a while ago was fucking really shitty?
What?
Sending a text that's really fucking out of pocket. That's what? Really forward, that's really fucking sexually charged, and that is trying to elicit a certain response, and then immediately following up with, holy fucking shit, someone stole my phone, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that was always a move. Are you kidding me? That happened all the time. That happened to me really, a few times. Really, really.
And then you wait. You give it like an hour to see if they respond. And if they don't, like, I'm so fucking sorry.
You have to give it time. Yeah. You have to give it a few minutes.
You have to see if they're going to respond to it. Because if they take the bait, oh my god. My fucking dude.
Like, I would pull, not the super sexual part, but just like some, just like something flirty,
mm-hmm.
which to me was just, you know, me talking, but because I was not good at it.
One last super cursed thing, because I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
I had this buddy through high school who had dated this girl who I was really fucking into.
Okay.
And he was not very nice to her. He did not treat her very well.
Hate that.
And it was one of those things where it was like, you know, I would take care of her. You know what I mean? Of course. It was one of those fucking things because I was big fucking cringe.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
And so they ended up breaking up, right? And she and I started dating.
Oh boy.
Going out on dates, right? With his consent.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I went to him, I was like, is this fucking cringe? He's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, okay, bussin', right? And so we started going out on dates. And the night I had one of my famous parties, my famous theater parties, she was there at the party, and that was gonna be the night I was gonna ask her out. And the big rule about my parties that got them so famous was that they were virgin parties where it was no drinking, no drugs, and no sex. Right?
Okay.
And
did you break your rule?
Come on, what kind of question is that? Of course I did. Just with sex, but because yeah, this is before I started drinking. So all that's to say, the very first people who were ever blacklisted were my friend and the girl that I was talking to, his ex, because he ended up spitting game at her all night and they ended up having sex in the fucking guest room.
Oh my god.
The night I was gonna ask her out.
Oh my god.
And I was like, you fucking cocksucker. I flipped the table. I was furious. Oh my god, because that was the closest, that is the closest anyone's ever come to cheating on me, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
is when you're like, you're not official, but you're,
but
like,
we've been exclusively seeing each other.
Oh my
and
god.
She was really into me, and then she was just like, I'm fucking terribly sorry. And I'm like, you are damn right you're sorry. Right? From fucking
midnight mass.
And so I was, oh my god. That was one of the very few moments where I got to genuinely take the gloves off and fully, in my own righteous mindset, got to fucking take someone out verbally. I was like, this is, like, I'm going to take 30 minutes to really explain to you the depths of your depravity and how you're such a bad person, and I'm going to make you cry. And I've only taken the gloves off that viciously probably 3 times in my life, and that was one of them.
I don't take the gloves off often because I will take it a step too far.
And that's what I did. Yeah. I took it too far. And that's why I don't do it. Because I've only done it 3 times in my life and I took it way fucking too far.
Yeah.
And so, so all that's to say, about maybe, 6 months or so. And I still have a crush on her. I still have a thing for her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was always that, like, what could have been.
Yeah.
You know, it was ruined for that shit. And that was the fact that I liked her. That was why I hurt so much.
Yeah.
And so I got a text from her out of the blue. It's just like, hey, I know this is really out of pocket, but I've been really thinking about you and I kind of want to get together, like, and have sex. And I was like, what? Fucking yeah. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that sounds great. Like, let's set it up. Like, let's fucking make it happen, right? Like, what are you doing right now? You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. And then no response for, like, maybe 3 hours. and I was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's the worst. Also, viewers at home, absolute worst thing you could possibly do to me. is say something that is emotionally evocative, either good or bad, and then to ghost. You have to try really hard to top how upset you make me when people do that. That is the fucking worst. I hate it. So that happened. So I'm just sitting there, this ball of nerves and emotion, like, what the fuck is going on? And then, I texted again, like, is everything good? And she's like, yeah, why? And I was like, well, did you see the text message that you sent? And she's like, I'm like, what do you mean, why? And we're having this back and forth, and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, are you fucking with me? And, whoops.
Yee!
The guy, my buddy, who's a great guy, and I fucking love him. He was a little fucking shit through high school, and I loved him, right? Yeah. He is my fucking buddy, and we'd fuck with each other, and we'd take it too far. I sent him to the hospital one time by accident. So, it's, I love him, right? This isn't a bad on him. It's a bad on him at this point in time.
Yeah.
He had sent me a text saying, hey, I took her phone, sent that to you, and deleted it. You totally fell for the trap. And I'm like, good one.
That's so awful.
So fucking mean.
I hate
super
that.
Fucking mean. Yeah.
And that's why cursed love is inevitable.
cursed love is inevitable.
Inevitable. Oh my god.
All right. Well, fuck. Thank you guys so much for what? We need to spin the wheel.
Oh, we do need to spin the wheel.
Thank you guys so much for what? You want to hit it?
Sure. Let's go. Wow, that was weird.
See it, like, limp into
it's
it?
Gonna
holy
shit. It's
going to
be Cursed Love because you didn't take it off.
Oh, I really hope it's Cursed Love again.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Cursed Love Part 2.
LOL.
It's D&D.
As if we don't already talk about it enough, we get to have a whole episode dedicated to
it. I'm actually really excited about this because the format that I think we're going to take is we're going to tell, like, not we're going to talk about, like, how much D&D means to us. We're going to tell stories from our D&D campaigns.
Yeah.
Like highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome.
Guys, tune in for one of the fucking most epic, goddamn nerdy, fucking virgin-ass shit you've ever heard. Remember, I'm saying...
He's single, ladies.
Ladies! He plays... Our next guest has a Warhammer 40K collection, fights with foam swords, and is an experienced dungeon master.
Put your pants back on,
put
ladies.
Your panties together.
Don't say put your panties together? The fuck did you just say in my house? That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Or Tyler Webster. Oh, God.
Oh my
damn
God.
It. That's fucking funny. Anywho, guys, thank you so much for watching or listening. Who gives a fuck? Tune in next week for D&D. It's going to be a fucking romp.
It's going to be awesome.
In the meantime, I've been Tyler.
I've been Danielle.
And this has been...
traumatic.
Traumatic and cursed. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.